Oklahoma. And that's it. Hey.
We're
done with our Big 12 coverage. Hey. This is the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm Logan, and here with me today, West Virginia homer, Andrew Rodriguez. How's it going, Andrew?
Well, unfortunately, Logan, it's not coming home.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
It's not. Indeed, for another year, it's not coming home.
That's a sad, this is a sad day for everyone in West Virginia. Oh, well. Seriously, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm so confused.
There's an England thing where they always joke about when England does well at tournaments. The joke is always, it's coming home. There's a song, I haven't actually heard the whole song, but it's basically like, it's coming home. It's coming home.
Oh.
Football's coming home. And there's a whole long song about it. And so there's always just anytime England is, I don't even matter if they're successful, anytime they make a major tournament, a Euro, a World Cup, that becomes just the running meme joke. And it's really funny, especially on Reddit, our soccer. It gets absolutely hilarious because people just invent the funnest, craziest ways to reference the joke.
See, this is why I didn't get that, because I fucking hate England. I'm sorry. Although I mostly do it to get under Josh's skin, but I mean...
He's not even an England fan anymore.
You sure? Because he's wearing their freaking scarf.
Well, he gave up on them because there are too many Spurs players.
No, he totally is an England fan. He was wearing their fucking jersey. It didn't work.
Get well, Kieran Trippier. We need you.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I like Croatia. I can't.
I do too.
I honestly am really hopeful on Croatia. So this automatically, we're covering the Big 12 this week.
We're a World Cup podcast.
You can automatically tell what our thoughts on the Big 12 are because we've been spending the first 3 minutes talking about how Croatia's going to win the World Cup over France.
God, I hope so. That'd be so awesome.
Thoughts and prayers. I gotta believe, man. I don't know.
I don't really know if Croatia have a catchy song, but I'm sure. I do know that every time they won a game, the TV would cut to the public watching parties in Zagreb, and it would just be nothing but people lighting flares setting street fire.
There's always road flares. It looks worse than Philadelphia out there. I'm scared.
It looks almost like a war zone, but it's just people super excited for Croatia.
Are you sure it's not a war zone? Because it could be a war zone. I'm not familiar with what the politics in Croatia are.
They're pretty
good,
actually. Croatia is a fairly stable.
Huh.
Apparently, the coastal area, the Dalmatian coast in Croatia, is gorgeous. Since we're a vacation podcast.
Yeah, we're also a vacation podcast.
The Dalmatian coast in Croatia.
So, I'm going to be frank. We do have to talk about the Big 12 eventually. Do we want to just start with Oklahoma, or do we want to, talk about all the other bullshit first? I don't even know where to start with this conference. If Artem was here, we could at least shit on Texas, but Artem's not here.
I feel like his hate for Texas, I end up having to balance out and be almost a Texas homer, just so you get somewhat of an even baseline on Texas.
But you're also a West Virginia homer.
Look, I'm a homer for a lot of teams, alright? I will fully admit that. I'm also working on this whole thing where maybe trying to be more positive about stuff. When we get to the ACC preview, that'll really be tested.
That's going to fall apart really fast. I'm telling you now. I don't know. You actually have a secret love of a couple of teams in the Big 12. Because I think, I don't know if you believe in this still, but I know you used to Iowa State. You've kind of got a thing for Kansas State. You like the tortillas out of Texas Tech.
I love the tortillas at Texas Tech. I want to know if we have any Texas Tech friends of the pod out there. I have a burning question. When I watch the tortillas, I notice that some of them have holes bitten out of the middle of them. And I want to know, is that for improved aerodynamics or is that because you are hungry?
A little out of column A, a little out of column B. I gotta believe. There's no way.
I love that your basketball arena has been colloquially referred to as the tortilla factory.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, Texas Tech throws tortillas on their field. Is it when something good happens or just in general?
I think it might be just in general. I've heard that they've actually really cracked down on security for students going in. I think it's they actually like pat them down and check them for tortillas.
Oh my Lord. This is things have gotten out of hand. Holy crap. But hey, I mean, more power to them. I like schools with good traditions.
Plus, you cannot tell me that Cliff Kingsbury is not the sexiest man in college football.
He's the master of the no-look pass, which I have yet to see in an actual game.
I'm also fairly convinced that he moonlights as Ryan Gosling.
I would not be shocked.
I've never seen the two of them in the same place.
I would not be shocked. But, all right. So we actually have to talk about football at some point. You've got the page open to Oklahoma, so yeah, we might as well start there.
That's kind of the thing. It's a conference where...
there's Oklahoma and
there's everyone else.
So, like, I mean, just to kick it off, I honestly think if you're a betting man, you got to put your money on Oklahoma to make the playoff. Like, they are pretty much the guaranteed team. Because at least, if you look at Alabama, okay, they got to go through the SEC. If you look at Clemson, weird things happen in the ACC. If you look at Ohio State, they could potentially get tripped up by, like, Michigan State, Michigan, or Penn State. Oklahoma, who's going to beat them? Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, like, even their non-conference schedule, they get Florida Atlantic, UCLA, and Army all at home.
So FAU might be their toughest game out of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the Chip Kelly at
UCLA. I just don't think he's got the talent right now.
No, I don't think he does yet either. But I also wanted to check to make sure that Ohio State didn't play Wisconsin in the regular season, and they don't. But we'll talk about that when we get to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The biggest question for Oklahoma, if you really want to ask a question, is who's going to start at quarterback? You know, Baker Mayfield won everything. Pissed everybody off. Started a beef with Kansas, of all teams. I mean, come on, dude.
Hey, look, man, when you got talent, you're allowed to be an asshole.
Had talent by the bushel full. Yeah,
fourth.
I mean, 100%. He's definitely one of those. You know, he's the number one pick in the draft. He's in Cleveland, whether or not he can... Yeah, that's where quarterbacks go to die in that factory of
that's
sadness.
That's where players go to die.
But they got, you know, Kyler Murray's coming back, who was a first-round pick of the Oakland Athletics in the Major League Baseball draft.
I'm not sure what compelled them to make that choice. But, I mean, honestly, he's a great quarterback. I'm curious to see how that'll play out for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think, in honest to goodness, he's more athletic than Baker Mayfield. He's probably faster than Baker Mayfield. You know, now, I don't remember a lot of the Kyler Murray era at Texas A&M. I'm sure if Artem was here, he'd talk about how terrible he was and hate-filled and all of that.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, he actually had a decent, you know, when it was him and Trevor Knight splitting carries, had a decent playing time at Texas A&M. You know, Rodney Anderson's back, the running back, who's
really good. You've got great results there. You'll have to tell me on defense. I don't think they lost too much. They've got a lot of talent over there.
They got seven guys back, but again, you know, they're a team. Their class nationally was ninth last year. They're a team that consistently recruits in the top 10.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I mean,
talent's going to be there.
That's always been the thing for me out of the Big 12. Is it's like Oklahoma has a defense, and you can't say that about pretty many other teams out of the Big 12. I mean, my Lord.
No, but even then, like, I know that Oklahoma fans really don't like Mike Stoops. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's, again, it's because they play where they play and they deal with the offenses they deal with. But I've definitely heard a lot of Oklahoma fans that just don't like Mike Stoops as a DC.
I think it's because he's the dark horse brother. He's like the drunken, like, younger brother that nobody likes. You know, like, he's like the Jeb Bush, where it's just like, you don't trust him. Why would you trust him? I was like, but technically there's nothing wrong with the guy. He's not that great. I mean, I haven't seen him make any poor decisions. But again, I'm also not an Oklahoma fan.
He was
so
the head
what
coach
do I
at
know?
Arizona for a couple of years. I remember that. They weren't very good. Now, he's the head coach at Oklahoma from 04 to, or for, at Arizona from 2004 to 2011.
Yeah.
That's a pretty long time.
My understanding is they felt like he was getting hired because Bob Stoops was there, and I feel like they didn't like that maneuvering. But at the same, I don't think he's a terrible coach. He hasn't done anything to make me feel like he's made poor decisions or anything.
No, you know, and yeah, they lost a shootout to Georgia, but Georgia was really good offensively last year. It's not like they lost a shootout to a team that's not good offensively.
Right. Well, and they were in that game pretty much all the way. Weird thing, you know, what are you going to do? And that was pretty much the only game. Well, Iowa State. They lost to Iowa State.
They lost the Iowa State game last year.
And that's just one of those, like, you throw your hands up and you say, what can you do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Iowa State also caught a lot of teams by surprise last
year. Yeah, they won 8 games, and nobody expected that. The other big question, they lose Mark Andrews, their really good tight end,
mm-hmm.
who went to the Ravens. The Ravens drafted 2 tight ends this year, by the way. Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina and Mark Andrews.
They're trying to make the most out of Flacco while they still got him.
Excuse me, Lamar Jackson.
Okay, yeah, sure. Believe what you want
to
believe.
But, yeah, to me, Oklahoma is a team that if today you said you've got to bet on a team winning their conference and making the playoff, or I'm going to cut one of your feet off, I'd probably go with Oklahoma.
I don't know. I would be terrified to lose my feet.
I mean, I like my feet. I'd prefer not to lose them, but, you know.
I'm not sure. I'm just trying to figure out how you came up with that story, like, off the top of your head. Like, you've been in that situation before, I feel like.
Look, what happens on my own time is my business.
Okay,
you know, there's a high-stakes gambling ring out there. Don't worry about it.
They're going to take my thumbs! yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to argue against Oklahoma. There's just, at the end of the day, the talent level there is so much better than everyone else in that conference. Texas potentially is going to be there in a few years, but I haven't seen anything out of their coaching yet. We'll get to Texas, I guess, in a second. But let's just go down the list. What else? What do we got next up? I think it's Oklahoma.
It's going to be the team that I'm a homer for that you don't think is very good.
I don't think. Okay, here's the problem with West Virginia. I like West Virginia, and that's the problem.
Welcome to my world, the kiss of death.
Yeah, I mean, the only team that doesn't affect seems to be Alabama, and that's because they have Nick Saban. So,
Alabama.
I mean, so yeah, West Virginia, I like Dana Holgorsen. I like the system that they run there. The problem is they struggle to get out of mediocrity. So, I mean, they've had a few really good years, but for the most part, they're like a 7-win, 8-win team. And that just isn't going to cut it when you're in a conference with Oklahoma, sadly. I mean, that's not going to get you to the next level. Because this is a fan base that has been clamoring to get to a New Year's Six Bowl again. And I just don't think this is going to be their year, sadly. But, you know, tell me, you're the homer.
I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma. I mean, I can sit here and easily say I think they're going to be the second best team in the conference because Oklahoma's that much better than everyone else.
Well, man, again, though, you also got to go against TCU. You've also got to go against Oklahoma State, and you've got to potentially go against a Texas team that may or may not be back. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at their schedule, and we had this conversation before it started. There's a really rough road schedule. You got, what, Kansas State,
You have Texas Tech, Iowa State, Texas, and Oklahoma State.
Texas and Oklahoma State. Sorry.
Plus the non-conference game at Carter-Finley and Raleigh against NC State.
And technically the one in Charlotte against Tennessee.
I think they'll beat Tennessee by 2 touchdowns.
I think it'll be closer than you think, but yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
I think Pruitt will be decent. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the SEC. I think Pruitt will be okay. I just don't think this is his year.
I mean, they've got to win the Smoky Mountain Trophy. That's a trophy I'm just making up right now. So
sure, that's not Tennessee, Virginia Tech.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're kind of making a deal out of it. I would love to see Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Tennessee play, have a trophy
like
that.
You know, I really, it's well known in this podcast my distaste for Virginia Tech fans.
Yeah.
They always argue about, we should play 9 conference games, blah, 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 and then Georgia Tech, Clemson, Louisville, and Florida State are like, no, we already played 9 P5 games because we have a rivalry at the end of the season. And Virginia Tech fans, we can't find play West Virginia every year. Bam. Done.
Solved.
Virginia Tech. Stop being jerks and play West Virginia every year. You're both inbred Mountain Hicks, So you guys will get along great.
Or play Tennessee.
I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing both of them, so why? What's the difference? Anyway.
And we just pissed off, like, the four Virginia Tech fans who listen to this.
But no, I think West Virginia's got the talent. Didn't they lose their quarterback?
No, Will Greer's back, homie.
Oh, that's why. That's why everybody's so high on them, because their quarterback's back.
Greer's back. David Stills is back, who's really, really good. The wide receiver, 6'4", 204. Stills, if I remember correctly, was the 13-year-old that Lane Kiffin offered a scholarship to, and he was at USC.
Yeah.
You hate that's what the guy is remembered for, because he's a really, really good player.
Well, I think now what he's remembered for, and I don't know how I thought that he was gone, because if he was, he would have been drafted pretty high. People are expecting him to go really high in the upcoming draft.
Greer? Yeah, he's especially – the thing that I've read from scouts is that next year's draft is a really weak quarterback class.
Right.
And so he's going to have a chance. You'll see guys that normally wouldn't be drafted that high because everyone wants to find quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, it's the hot commodity. We saw, what, 6 or 7 taken this year?
A lot of them.
Anyway. And honestly, it wasn't that great of a quarterback class this year either. But, yeah, I think Will Greer's got the talent to lead the team. But, again, I have not been convinced because he was there last year. I'm pretty sure we had the same conversation we were like...
didn't he get hurt last year?
I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he was there the whole time. We had the same conversation last year, though, where we were really high on West Virginia, and they let us down. It's kind of how I feel about Missouri, where it's like I've been really high on Missouri for years now, and they keep falling apart on me.
Don't let Bill Connolly hear you say mean things about Missouri.
He knows how bad they are. Get off
you know, you
back.
look at the losses, though. It's a 7-point loss to Virginia Tech, a 7-point loss to TCU. I mean, they got... an 11-point loss to Oklahoma State. The 14-point loss to Texas doesn't look good. They got absolutely railroaded by Oklahoma, but who doesn't? You know, and then the bowl game loss to Utah. So they had close games. You know, they really didn't get blown outside of the one you expected them to.
Well, right. And again, but that's what it comes down to there with their schedule is I don't think – that's the thing. I could see them winning any of those games except Oklahoma – but I could also see them losing any of those games. So it's really hard. I mean, they could go anywhere from like a 5-win season to like a 10-win season. It's really hard to tell.
Well, I feel like you kind of hit that in that next level down in the Big 12 anyway. You've got a couple of teams kind of grouped together that, depending on how the ball bounces, depending on how they play certain swing games, could be anywhere from a 5 to a 10 to however many...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very, you know, again, it's a very clustered
and that kind of pseudo
parody.
And that kind of gets us into the next team, which is Oklahoma State. Now, that's the team that lost their quarterback.
They lost their quarterback, Mason Rudolph. They lost James Washington, the Biletnikoff Award winner, wide receiver.
Right.
They do get their entire, most of their offensive line back. They get some other wide receivers not named James Washington back. They get Justice Hill, who's a really, really good running back. Now it's crazy to say that at Oklahoma State, obviously, but Hill is a really, really good running back.
Well, it's something they're going to need if they're going to diversify on offense. My question, as always, with Oklahoma State is defense, because they have really struggled on defense.
They did bring in a new defensive coordinator,
and
Jim Knowles. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do, because but to be fair, who in the Big 12 not named Oklahoma has fielded a solid defense?
Well,
TCU.
And Oklahoma State is the stereotypical Big 12 team
in
that they have an offense that will put up 60 points a game. Well, 60 is a little unrealistic. They'll put up like 50 points a game, but then they'll give up like 45. And you're just like, oh my Lord.
They lost games 44-31. They lost Oklahoma 62-52.
Yeah. That's the stuff I'm talking about.
They lost 45-40 to Kansas State. Yeah, they're definitely a team that can't really... You know, they won 50-39 against West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they put up ridiculous numbers, but then it really just comes to, can we outrace the opponent?
Now, Jim Knowles comes to them from Duke, and in my mind, Duke's actually been decent defensively the past couple of years. They've had some talent. It's Duke, and it's we. To be fair, we do need to somewhat break out of that mindset of it's Duke, because Duke's not what they were when Cutcliffe got hired. They're a significantly better program. Now, they're not good. They're not great, but they're a significantly better program than they were.
I think they're talented enough to compete. But anyway, as far as your defensive coordinator you're talking about, yes, he did a very good job at Duke, and I would like to see what he can do with a more talented Oklahoma State team, but that doesn't mean anything to me until I see it performed on the field.
You won't see it. They get Boise State in week 3. That'll be a pretty good matchup, I think, because Boise State's a good team.
Yeah, better than people realize anyway.
So that'll be one. Week 4 against Texas Tech. You know, you talk about teams with offenses and no defenses.
Well, the other problem with Texas Tech is that it's just so – you don't even know if their offense is going to show up. It could be a coin flip on that one. But anyway, yeah, Oklahoma State. The other thing – yeah, with the defensive coordinator that you brought up, I don't think he's seen a lot of these kind of offenses where it's going to be five wide, shotgun all the time. That's going to be interesting to see if they stand up.
There's not a lot of, you know, your closest cousin, I guess, would be maybe Larry Fedora at UNC, but it's still not the same.
Well, and even them, I mean, yeah, it's not even close in my mind, but I mean, I get where you're coming from. It's probably
if you're going to talk about an offense who's trying to spread the field. Now, Fedora is a bit of an air raid guy, but he's not the Texas Tech sling it Mike Leach 60 times a game air raid type guy.
So, I guess my thing with Oklahoma State is that I think they're in a good position to go 8 or 9 wins. They could go above that if their defense shows up, but I don't know what to make of their defense. I have literally no idea. And then their offense is coming back with a new quarterback, and that's always a questionable situation in a offense, not even an offense, a team that relies so heavily on a quarterback that can perform under pressure and do well. It's a really risky business when you bring in a new quarterback to that situation.
Yeah, but the guy they're bringing in is a fifth-year senior who's been in the program. You know, he hadn't thrown the ball a lot, hadn't, you know, been on, how you say, under center, in the gun with the defense flying at him, but he at least should have a really good understanding of scheme wise what they want to try to do. You know, they've won 10 games 4 out of the last 5 years. You know, Mike Gundy's really done a fantastic job
program. I can't see them going below 8 wins.
I don't think so.
I mean, honestly, they'll probably do better. But, I mean, worst-case scenario, they'll get 8 wins.
Which, I want to talk about this because it really, really pissed me off. I don't know if everyone saw this, but the AD at Oklahoma State took shots at Mike Gundy.
Oh, really?
And talked about, you know, we've won 10 games, but we're not recruiting. You know, our recruiting rankings are da-da-da-da-da. Shut up, AD. Dude's won 10 games. 4 out of the last 5 years. Like, yeah, I get you want a son, a great class, but come on, dude.
Well, and I think you're seeing in the Big 12 kind of what you've been seeing in the SEC the past couple of years is he's not really salty about the recruits. He's salty about the fact that they have Oklahoma as a rival and Oklahoma's consistently beating their ass. The problem is, it's Oklahoma. What are you going to do?
You're not in a state that's got a lot of talent, although there are some high schools in Oklahoma that will put out a little bit of talent, but I hate to say this because everyone takes it as a, I don't necessarily think saying you're the little brother school in a state is completely a bad thing, because it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And that's who Oklahoma is, especially with a program, that's the way Georgia Tech is. I mean, there's Michigan State. I mean, that's the way these teams are in their states.
I mean, it's better than being like the Georgia State or the Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, Kansas.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's almost a clueless statement by the AD. You know, you're winning games. Let the guy win games.
Well, and we kind of touched on it with West Virginia, but I think you're seeing a lot of teams where even though the coaches are winning like 8, 9, 10 games a year, you're going to see a bunch of turnover in the near future just because ADs and fan bases are fed up with, like, we can't win the conference. Yeah, you can't win the conference because you're in it with Oklahoma. The problem with the Big 12 is also there's no divisions to win, so it's like you're just going to get beat over and over again.
So I got two really scorching hot takes. You ready for this?
Hit me with it.
At the beginning of the season, there are maybe 15 teams that have a chance at winning a national title. That's it.
Okay.
Maybe. In a good year.
I'm waiting for the hot take here.
I mean, the other hot take, you want to consistently compete with a program like Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State's an interesting one because they do have T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
You got to show the money. You want to win, you got to spend money. Look at Clemson. Clemson was a good team, decent program. But look at what Dabo Sweeney's been able to do. Fundraising, recruiting, and has turned them into the national program that they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about, you know, we're in such a facilities arms race now. If you really want to try to fight and push to sign those 4-star, 5-star, want to climb the recruiting rankings, you got to invest. You got to spend money on stuff.
You got to have an athletic program. You got to have a gym. You got to have new stuff.
You got to have a place for that money to come from. Now, Oklahoma State's an interesting one because, again, they do have T. Boone Pickens who, you know, can basically write blank checks.
Yeah, he will invest some cash.
So they may not be the best program to ask that question, but that's the truth of the matter is if you want to get into that high echelon, you've got to spend the money. You've got to have the money, and you've got to spend the money.
Well, and again, maybe because I'm not exactly a Oklahoma State fan, I'm kind of wondering if they're in an ECU thing Eastern Carolina, where the AD is just like, I don't want to spend cash, so I'm disagreeing with you, coach. You why aren't you doing things?
I think it's a new AD, if I remember correctly. I believe it's a newer AD, but I don't think he was as tone deaf. If you go read the actual comments, we're kind of doing some hot takes on it. The actual comments weren't as awful, but the thought behind it was just something that really kind of grinded my gears and rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay. You want to know what my hot take is? Hot dogs are sandwiches.
They're open-faced sandwiches.
Yeah,
it's pretty
there
simple.
You go.
Our tacos sandwiches.
Mmm.
Our hot dogs tacos.
No.
Why not?
Because they're not ground meat.
Doesn't have to be ground meat. You don't do, like, steak strip tacos?
No.
Or chicken strip tacos?
No.
What are those called?
I don't know.
What if I make a basic soft taco with grilled chicken? What do you call that?
Or
shrimp. Shrimp tacos. How do you not like shrimp tacos?
I thought those were chalupas. What?
No, I don't even know what I haven't been to Taco Bell in a long time. I don't even know what a chalupa is.
This is a college football podcast. Anyway.
This is a taco podcast.
We're hitting with the hot takes. Okay, TCU. Can we talk about TCU?
I mean, we can.
You don't like TCU. I used to be the guy that didn't like TCU. How did
you
this happen?
You still don't like... No, you just hate Andy Dalton.
I just hate Andy Dalton. I still hate Andy Dalton.
The problem with TCU to me is they just lost a lot across the board in a lot of places. And they're at Texas. They're at West Virginia. They have to play Ohio State in Arlington.
Oh, yeah. That whole Ohio State game, that's going to suck.
To be fair, you know, they went 12-1, 11-2, 6-7, 11-3. You know, Gary Patterson's a fantastic. I mean, he's a great
coach.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the problem.
He was awesome. He was really good on the film room.
Yeah.
Which still has one of my greatest coaching moments ever.
Well, and again, TCU, like we talked about with Oklahoma, they got a defense.
Whoa! Yes.
What a crazy concept.
Patterson is very, very, very well known as a defensive guy.
That's
what he's good at.
He is. Look, I mean, I'm not as memorable with names as far as coaches go. You know me. I'm more of just like, I want to see it. I remember Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson is a scary good defensive coordinator who, you know, for a guy in the Big 12, it's like, that's shocking.
He's been a guy that's built TCU up from the Conference USA or the
Mountain West.
Mountain West, and they spent, like, they joined the Big East, but then never actually joined the Big East, but then they joined the Big 10.
Well, that was the whole, like, Big East is disillusioned bullcrap. But anyway,
Yeah, they've got to replace Sean Anderson stepping in to play quarterback. Kenny Hill left. A lot of the good defensive players are gone. They get 9 starters back. So it'll be interesting to see how some of the new faces. Now, Sean Robinson was the Texas State Gatorade Player of the Year. You know, he's an athletic guy. Patterson's really focused on athletic quarterbacks. I mean, even Andy Dalton was athletic for being a ginger. Please don't sue us, gingers. People.
All I'm saying is even Cincinnati hates Andy Dalton now. Anyway.
Sorry. That's because they refused to fire Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about TCU.
You know, the funny story I was talking about in the film room, and I don't know if anyone else remembers this from the championship game, but they're watching the tape, and they're talking about up-tempo offenses and defenses adjusting. And I don't know if I can't remember if it's Dana Holgorsen or Matt Rhule turn to Gary Patterson and go, Gary, do your linebackers check their wristbands before they blitz still? And you see Patterson just, you know, face flushed because he's like, oh, my Lord, how did I not see that tick? And basically they're saying that they found something on tape to where every time his linebackers would check a wristband, they were blitzing.
They were blitzing, yes.
And that's you know, something you look for when you review tape.
That was Matt Rhule. I remember that. But yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious.
No. Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, occasionally for other big games, but for every national championship, they've had a coach's press room where the coaches will watch the plays and give talks.
I cannot recommend it enough. It's honestly, when it's an option for a game, it's the only one that I'll watch.
All right, but back to TCU. So your main concern is just that they're losing so much, and the schedule is really tough. I can still see them going. They'll make a bowl game for sure. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make it above like 7 or 8 wins. It's kind of hard to say. I think they could potentially challenge, but that's depending on what the heck Oklahoma State does, because I don't know what to make of them without their offense.
Again, it's kind of like we said. There's Oklahoma at the top. And then there's this glut of everyone else. And then there's Kansas.
All right. Last glut before we get to the next level. Probably talking about Texas.
Or Kansas State. I mean, I said it's just about everyone's in that glut.
I don't know. I'm not. I wanted to talk about Kansas State later because I wanted to do the like, oh, I forgot about Kansas State, but they're going to win 8 games this year anyway.
I mean,
but
we do often forget about Kansas State, and they do often win 8 games.
But no.
We can do Texas. We can talk about Texas. Whether they're back or not, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, man, Texas. With all that money in the bank, gosh.
Texas is an interesting school to me because, A, they're a team that should be better than they've been in the recent years. But they're also a team like a Tennessee and a Florida to an extent and a Notre Dame.
A lot of programs.
Where they get the benefit of the doubt whether they should or not. You know, they're ranked 23rd in the preseason ranking that I've seen.
Way too high.
And that's the thing is, I think Texas will be better than they were last year because the talent's there. You know, Tom Herman just signed his first full class and was ranked number 3 in the country.
Yeah, well, they're one of those teams where the AP poll loves them because if you say Texas, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I remember 20 years ago when Texas was, like, the greatest thing of all time. Like, I'm just making up numbers. But, yeah, the point is, I remember Texas in the golden days. I don't know about Texas now after they went, 7-6 last year?
Yeah.
So,
and 5-7 to 2 years before that.
Again, Texas is always going to have the talent. They're going to have the cash, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier. They're going to throw cash at those programs like crazy. So the question is, can the coaching develop?
I think so. I like Tom Herman. I think he's a good coach. I think he's brought in some good coaches around him. Their biggest question, there's going to be somewhat of a quarterback battle. You know, last year it was Sam Ellinger and Shane Bichelle. Bichelle started as a freshman, and then last year kind of alternated with Erlinger,
How do you pronounce that?
Was a true freshman. I mean, they've gone young at quarterback. And I believe he played a lot better. Erlinger did, so he may end up being the guy. I know.
Why do you keep looking at me like, oh, yeah, you know about Erlinger?
You can,
like,
you can pronounce things. You read better than I do. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, the opening loss to Maryland last year, everyone poo-pooed that, but then, you know, the angry Maryland quarterback hating God came in and decimated, smoked Maryland. So, and their defense, you know, I was looking at Bill Connolly's defensive S&P. They were really, really good defensively last year, Texas was.
So, you know more about coaches than I do. Todd Herman, is he a defensive-minded coach?
No. Tom Herman was Urban Meyer's offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
We're going to see a lot of
I believe he was on Urban's staff at Florida, too.
No wonder he ended up in the Big 12. My Lord.
Where else is he going to go? He's not going to go to the SEC. Yeah. Although, allegedly, I have no idea how true this story is, but allegedly he was just about to take the South Carolina job. And then they lost to the Citadel. And he said, you know what? I don't want to do this.
I'm, This is making me think back to the Tennessee discussion. I'm like, how did he not get into the discussion for that old thing?
Because he was at Texas?
Because it was just such a mess. Anyway.
I feel like I need Ryan Nanny screaming Brady Hoke text in Italian. But, yeah, Texas, again, I think they'll be better. They did lose a ton of guys on defense, so it's going to be interesting to see who steps into those missing holes and who's able to, you know, fill what they needed. Because if the defense is as good as it was last year, you have to imagine the offense is going to take steps in a positive direction.
You would have to believe it. I mean, the other thing is, and I guess this is the thing in fans' minds, they've been setting this up for years. This is a new guy stepping in. They're expecting to see results. The problem is, Texas kind of like last year. They could be the best team in the conference. They could also be total crap. I just don't know. There's no way to tell. I mean, they'll definitely make a bowl game in my mind.
But, and their win shares there. The only three games they're not predicted to win are Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and USC. So, obviously, the Maryland game is going to be interesting because it will be a healthy Maryland team.
I could even potentially see them beating USC. I would think that would be a fun
game. That's going to be I'm really excited for that game week three. That's going to be a really, really good game because I think USC is a really good team this year, too.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad it's week three because now that I'm going to that West Virginia opener, like, I got too much shit on my plate.
You just so need to make sure you're ready for that moonshine.
Oh, no. I bought a hat so that they can identify me. But then I'm worried that this is going to be the same thing as what happened when I went to Ireland, where, like, I bought tickets to the Boston College Georgia Tech game, but they didn't tell you which side you were on. So I showed up, and I was in the Boston College side, of course. I'm like,
well, if you accidentally end up in the Tennessee side, just learn how to sing Rocky Top as loud as you can.
Yeah, just be really drunk. Oh, Rocky Top! You are
me. But, again, yeah, I think Texas is going to be very good. And they had the USC game and the Oklahoma State game last year both went to overtime. The USC game went to double overtime. Their Kansas State game that they won went to double overtime. The Oklahoma game, they lost 29-24. I mean, they fought back from a 20-point deficit to make that a game.
Look, I mean, they're not a bad team. And as we said, they've got the talent. I just need to see some kind of, like, actual results before I think they deserve to be ranked 23 in the fucking nation.
I agree with you. I think if they come out and donkey dick Maryland, then I think we can kind of say, okay, maybe Texas has realized they're Texas and they're going to play with the talent level they have.
Yeah.
Now, if they come out donkey dick Maryland and then 2 weeks later get donkey dicked by USC, then we're going to be like, we're all going to look like fools, like we did when they beat Notre Dame 2 years ago.
Donkey dicked is an interesting verb.
I don't remember where I picked that up. I have no clue, but it has somewhat become one of my words for getting the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if that's a Paul Johnson saying, but I don't think so. But yeah, maybe Texas will think they're Italy. Fun fact about Italy, they don't use coasters in Italy. I don't know what the deal is.
I would never survive in Italy.
I know.
How do all of their tables not have water rings?
Because they drink out of wine bottles.
But I guess if they're not cold, then it wouldn't sweat.
Yeah, well, because it's all red wine, is my understanding. I don't know.
So I guess if it's not cold, that makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah. Speaking of Italy, Iowa State.
I was going to say, it's in summer vacation podcast.
So, I don't know what to make of Iowa State.
They have one of the best running backs in the country in David Montgomery.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know what to make of Iowa State.
they're one of those fun teams where the head coach is also the offensive coordinator. In Matt Campbell?
God, I don't... Again, only in the Big 12. Jesus, like, what am I supposed to say to that? Honestly, like we talked about earlier, they shocked the nation with how well they performed last year. And I guess the thing is, like, everyone I've listened to on sports radio is like, but we know they're coming this year, so that's not going to happen again. And I'm like, that's the exact thing that you say before they come in and they kick everybody's tail. So I was like, I don't know. Like, Iowa State.
You know, one of their big losses was Alan Lazard, their wide receiver. He's a three-time All-Big 12 player. You know, Hakeem Butler's back, who caught a lot of passes. They've signed some big wide receivers. The quarterback's back, Kyle Kemp. Although he actually split time last year with Jacob Park. Park's transferred out, so it's a moot point now. Again, I'm 100% all aboard the David Montgomery train. You want to talk about a powerful running back. That dude is good.
Which is a huge bright spot for them because if I remember correctly, Iowa State's one of those teams where they, up until last year, they had really struggled to get their offense going.
I mean, they were 3-9, 2-10, 3-9, 3-9.
Yes, they were terrible.
They get 4 out of 5 offensive linemen back, which is really helpful. The tight end's back, wide receiver's back. Yeah, the offense should be pretty good. Week 2 at Iowa. Actually, the opening week against South Dakota State. Yeah, it's an FCS team, but South Dakota State's a good FCS
team.
They
can surprise some people, yeah.
Week 3, they play Oklahoma, so that'll be fun. But it's in Ames, so...
I don't know. Last year, they upset them on the road, so, I mean, weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
I would not expect them to beat Oklahoma.
So. No, I don't think they'll beat them this year, but they're definitely a team who... I could see another bowl game. The problem is we can't keep saying all of these teams are going to make bowl games because there aren't enough games for them to win for that to happen.
Yeah. Also they're reducing the number of bowl games every year. Oh, no. It's the end of the world.
No, it's going the other way. They keep adding bowl games.
I thought they cut out maybe they just cut out the number of TV-covered bowl games.
We're to the point where we have games that are not on TV.
That's what it is. Okay, but anyway.
I think it was it the Arizona Bowl or the New Mexico Bowl or one of those legit was not on TV.
But anyway, yeah. So I think Iowa State will make a bowl game. My question really with Iowa State isn't will they make a bowl game. My question is like, so what crazy ass upset are they going to have this year? Because I'm like, I could see them beating Iowa. That was the one that really upset
maybe
them.
Maybe Texas puts together a good season and they beat them late in the year.
And that's the other thing. Iowa State's schedule was kind of downhill after they play Lord. Oklahoma. It's just like everything.
At TCU, at Oklahoma State, at Texas. That's going to be rough. But if they make a bowl game again, I fully expect somebody to look at hiring Matt Campbell. Because he's really kind of pulled that program out of the dump.
Okay. All right, now let's talk about Kansas State. Now that we've, totally forgotten about them, now we can go back and talk about Kansas State and how they're going to win.
There's so many teams in the Big 12.
There's 10 teams in the Big 12. There really aren't that many teams.
Man, why can these numbered conferences not count? Because there's more than 10 teams in the Big 10.
Hey, at least there's 12 teams in the Pac-12, and we can be happy about that.
Yes, we can, for now. That's why I support conferences that don't use numbers.
Like the SEC?
And the ACC.
Okay, well, all right, fair enough.
And Conference USA.
People want to play in Conference USA.
You should sign up to be their marketing director.
I think I stole that from a U.S. play. That's what it was. Anyway, sorry. But Kansas State and the coach who will die there. You were telling me this story earlier, like where he tried to retire. And
Bill Snyder has retired once before. They hired Ron Prince. They tanked for 2 or 3 years, and he came back. One of the things I've heard, though, is he's actually had some fights and some arguments with the athletic director because he wants – his son's on staff. He's the associate head coach, special teams coordinator.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wants his son to step in and take over – when he leaves.
It's always about the lineage.
Yeah, he's 78 years old. He's been there 27 years with a 2-year hiatus in the middle. And the thing people need to realize about Bill Snyder at Kansas State is Kansas State before Bill Snyder was the worst program in America.
Right.
I'm not saying that facetiously. They were the worst program in America. I believe there's a Sports Illustrated article that basically was like, we should shut this program down.
What's up with programs in Kansas? Like, they just are terrible.
It's just a tough place to recruit. There's not a lot of in-state talent.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle.
Also, there was the Dust Bowl, and it just killed all the football programs that were growing there. You know, everything's terrible.
Pretty sure that's not how it works.
I remember my lessons on the Great Depression. That is exactly what happened.
I also read The Grapes of Wrath, and I'm not sure if it really talked about that.
Well, yeah, and that was why, you know, they had to turn... Yeah, the Dust Bowl, you don't remember that famous bowl game? anyway, sorry, go ahead. Talk about actual things.
So that's really their big question is how much longer is he going to hang around, and then when he leaves... What are they going to keep being able to do? I personally think when he leaves, there's obviously going to be growing pains. I don't know if they'll collapse back into where they were, but I don't think they'll be the consistent 8-9 win team that we've seen.
I mean, they'll drop back into not making a bowl game, but thankfully there's another program in Kansas that is just god-awful, and they can always just be like, but we're better than those guys!
And they get to play, I believe it's called the Sunflower State Showdown every year, the Kansas-Kansas State game. They've got
that's some, a rivalry.
The Big 12 has some fun rivalry names because that's the Sunflower State Showdown. You obviously have the Red River Shootout.
Yeah.
And then, if I remember correctly, Kansas State, Iowa State is referred to as Farmageddon.
I feel like that's Nebraska, Iowa, though. Oh no, that's the corn. That's the corn. Whatever. Anyway.
It is Iowa State, Kansas State is referred to as Farmageddon.
Yeah, there are some fun ones out there.
But
I don't know.
There's a quarterback battle in Manhattan. That's really the big question. But they've kind of done that for the past couple of years. It's been somewhat of a quarterback battle.
Talent goes in, talent goes out. And I think, as you pointed out earlier, before the podcast, it's because they're pulling all that JUCO talent. They're not... As weird as it sounds, as the talent leaves, it doesn't have as much of an impact.
No, and that's the one thing about Kansas is Kansas does have a very robust junior college system that sponsors football. A lot of really good junior colleges in Kansas have really good football programs, and Kansas State really makes a living with a lot of those guys.
Yeah, funny how only Kansas State does that. What's up with the... I don't know. We'll get to it.
Well, the other thing, too, is they're very well known as developing players. I mean, they're definitely a program who will sign lower-rated guys because they know that they can do something to develop them into better players. Tyler Lockett, wide receiver for... I think he's with the Packers.
Yeah,
went to Kansas State. You know.
Huh. I didn't realize that. I don't keep a list of players that went to Kansas State in my
back. That's just the one that popped into my head.
Yeah.
They are replacing the defensive coordinators and the offensive coordinators this year, so that'll be really interesting.
8 wins, basically.
The problem is we keep saying that every team in the Big 12 is going to win 6-8 games, and that's not feasible. Someone has to lose other than Kansas.
Kansas can just lose twice, okay?
Every team is going to beat Kansas 6 times and go to a bowl game.
I mean, let's count. Okay, Oklahoma's going to a bowl game. West Virginia's going to a bowl game. Oklahoma State's going to a bowl game.
TCU's going to a bowl game. Texas is going to a bowl game. Kansas State's going to a bowl game. Iowa State's going to a bowl game. We now have 7 out of the 10 teams. So we're saying Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas are not
going, to a bowl game, which is a shame.
And I'm not sold on Texas Tech not going to a bowl game.
I was about to say, because I'm like, Texas Tech, though, but they've got tortillas.
They have their own bowl.
Yeah, right.
They can have a tortilla bowl.
It's like, screw you guys. We're going to make our own bowl.
We have tortillas. You don't.
Oh, my gosh. Tortillas and blackjack. Hookers.
All right. On to Texas Tech.
Yeah, sure. Your man crush on Cliff Kingsbury.
I'm not the only one. Unfortunately, he's 30-33 at Texas Tech. Again, they've been middling 8-5, 4-8, 7-6, 5-7, 6-7. They beat South Florida. No, they lost to South Florida.
They lost to South Florida
in the Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah. Again, Texas Tech, not great.
They've got to find a new quarterback. Nick Shimonok is gone. But again, they're very much, as we've seen in Mike Leach offenses, most of the time it's a plug and play. The quarterback's still going to throw for 5,000 yards.
Well, okay, Texas Tech is an interesting one. I feel like they are the opposite of Kansas State in the sense that, for some reason, I always think they do better than they actually do. And I think it's because they're just they have a fun mascot, they have a fun fan base, they're always doing fun things.
They have tortillas.
They have tortillas. But yeah, consistently... Like, if you look at, like you said, you went over the pass record, not very good. Like,
the defense actually statistically got better last year than it was, which, for as bad as their defense has been, getting better is a good thing, you know?
What do we mean by better, though? Are we talking about, like, they went from giving up 500 yards a game to, like, 450? Like, what are we talking about here?
They finished 7th in total defense and 5th in yards allowed per play.
In the conference.
In the conference.
Okay, okay.
But hey, like, hey, 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 hey. Fifth in yards per play is in the middle.
Okay.
Right, which, now, they still gave up 5.78 yards per play, which is not good.
No. Well, I mean, Texas Tech is like Oklahoma State. Their epitome is, we are going to outscore you, and if we can't, we're screwed. The difference is, Oklahoma State is actually manages to outscore their opponents a lot of the time. Texas Tech, they kind of struggle
on
that.
Yeah, they lost. They lost 45-52. No, they won 45-52. 52-45. They lost. Oh, I forgot. They got blown out. No, they beat Kansas 65-19.
Yes.
They lost to West Virginia 46-35. Now, you know, they're not stopping a lot of people, but they did. You know, Houston was 27-24. We'll chalk that one up as a win. They lost to TCU 27-3, so they did stop them.
Oh,
kind of.
They
just didn't do anything.
That was a very weird game for both of those teams.
Yes. So that's really going to be the big question: is can they stop anyone, and how does the new quarterback settle into the offense?
I mean, I think what it's going to come down to them, and I hate to say this because it's a weird stat; it's not really trackable. If they get turnovers, they'll probably win. It doesn't even necessarily come down to defense. If they get the ball, they could win.
I think that's one of the things we've talked about at length on here is a team that forces a lot of turnovers, that can cover for a mediocre to bad defense.
Yeah.
And make it look statistically or to the eyes better than it actually is.
Right. Well, and that's the problem, though, is they just don't have the talent to do great things. But if they can somehow...
Yeah.
And that's
a tough thing to rely on year to year. Like, I don't think that's how you want to rely on making your bacon as a defensive team.
Well, and that's why I'm saying it's like it's a weird thing to hang it on because it's not really something you can control. But if they get turnovers, I think this is the one team where, like, if they get a significant amount of turnovers, it's going to make a huge difference in their performance. Whereas with a lot of these other teams, it's kind of like that's kind of where it'll fall anyway. But yeah, I don't know. That's be curious to see. All right, so next up on the list, Baylor.
Well, so...
You're going to have to tell me, because Baylor has... So, for those who have not kept track, Baylor has had some interesting legal issues as of late that have really severely affected the coaching and the talent level in the program. That said... It hasn't affected them as drastically as I thought it would. I mean, they've been bad, but they haven't been nearly as bad as I think people were.
I mean, they were 1-11.
Yeah. They won a game.
I mean, that's where you kind of step back and look at it and go, so they're 5 years, 11-2, 11-2, 10-3, 7-6, 1-11.
They won a game.
Now, I do think Matt Rhule is a great coach. I think he's a guy who stepped into a really bad situation that Baylor themselves caused. I'm not trying to say it's not their fault. And he actually signed the number 30 rated class in the country last year.
I mean, look.
Fourth in the conference.
Again, I'm deferring to you because you're the one who told me they are getting better. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I think they are.
Prove it.
I mean, yeah, well, but better is...
Better than
they,
one
they,
in...
Yeah, better is beating Kansas.
Better than 1-11. Oh, wow.
No, wait, They did beat Kansas last year.
Yeah, they won a game.
But so did Kansas. But yeah, I think Rhule, as he's in for the long rebuild, obviously just given everything. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Charlie Brewer's back, who ended up being the starting quarterback, played pretty well. He shared offensive freshman of the year, completed 68% of his passes, which is always good. 11-4 touchdown interception ratio. Oh, it's Michael Brewer's brother. The guy played at Virginia Tech. I remember that. That's, you know, they've got a lot of talent coming back, or at least production. I'm not sure how much talent it is.
Well, I think it's going to be at least another year. I don't think they make a bowl game, but you could see them potentially win 3 or 4 games this year.
They can beat Abilene Christian. They can beat UTSA. I think they could beat Duke.
It'll be close. Look, you were the one who earlier said we should stop underestimating Duke.
We should, but that doesn't mean that I think they're going to be great. Again, when we get to the ACC preview, I will tell you my Duke thoughts.
Okay, fine. But yeah, I mean, Kansas...
The only interesting thing is they could start out 4-0 and then not win again.
Is Kansas the fourth one on that list?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, there you go. Yeah, I think they can win four games, but that's kind of where we stand. Speaking of Kansas, so yeah, for those who are not familiar, Kansas is the running gag of being the dumpster fire team.
David Beatty's won three games in 4 years.
See, it's kind of a weird situation because it's like the program just seems doomed to fail. Like, they don't invest in it. They don't try very hard to get people there.
But even, you know, Mangino had a decent run for a couple of years.
I think you're looking at that through rose-tinted glasses.
They played an Orange Bowl. I'm pretty sure they won an Orange Bowl.
Okay, fine. How long ago was this? I don't remember.
It was mid-2000s, I think.
Maybe I'm just remembering. Maybe I'm just looking at it through bad glasses. But anyway, yeah. The point being is they have not done well for themselves as of late.
No, but Mangino went 50-48. They won the Orange Bowl in 2007. They made a bowl in 2008. They made a bowl in 2005. They made a bowl in 2003. Now he went, you know,
You're going back. Keep in mind, like, 2008 was 10 years ago. Now.
Oh, I know, but
and also your record you ran off was basically
it was 50-48.
Like, he was over 500. Whoa!
Hey, it's you know what David Beatty is? David Beatty's 3-33.
Yes, I know that. My point is, it's like, Pete. I just feel like the AD is not invested. The AD clearly has faith.
They just hired a new AD.
Okay.
They just hired, if I remember correctly, they just hired Jeff Long, former AD at Arkansas.
Ooh, that could actually be really interesting.
Yeah, it means they're going to hire Bert Bielema next year.
Well, there's that.
No, that's a terrible fit. Dear Lord, Kansas, please don't hire Bert.
Well, and Arkansas is a lot like Texas Tech, where it's like, I always feel like they do better, but no, that's not the case. Anyway, but yeah, Kansas just hasn't invested a lot in their program. Despite all the talk, I mean, yeah, Beatty hasn't been successful, but Beatty also hasn't been put in a position where he can really get success. You can't recruit at Kansas. They don't have a lot of talent. I mean, say what you will about the coaching. They clearly don't invest a lot in the gym facilities, and they clearly don't invest a lot in the football facilities. So I'm like, yeah. Kansas is just in a bad spot.
I mean, they've got a ton of players coming back, but it would be interesting to see if those players actually get better.
So
they did sign a running back named Puka Williams. He was a 4-star.
That might be a Fish contestant.
Speaking of Kansas,
did you know that
Fish Smithson played in the NFL? And I believe still plays in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's still in the NFL. I'm pretty sure. He was pretty good.
Kansas, they apparently hit the JUCO hard, which, as we talked about with Kansas State, it's a way for them to really try to plug some holes. You know, their schedule, hypothetically, they could win their first two games, maybe beat Rutgers to win three. There aren't more than
the Kansas Rutgers game. Someone has to win that game.
Honestly, that's going to be the greatest doubleheader. Kansas Rutgers followed by USC Texas.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, Kansas. So Jeff Long is the new AD. So, to me, Beatty's probably a dead man walking.
I mean,
outside of a miracle bowl game, he's probably gone.
I mean, even if he makes a bowl game, he might be gone.
He might still be gone just because it's tough with a new AD.
Well, 3-33 speaks for itself.
And like we've looked at, it's not that they've gotten, you know, they went 3-9 in 2016 and 1-11 last year. So it's going the wrong. You're bad, and you're going the wrong way.
Yeah,
it's not helpful. He's probably a dead man walking.
And I mean, are we really expecting them to be anything but a whipping boy in this conference?
They might surprise someone like they did Texas that time, but I
that time, like, we still hold that up on a pedestal.
Everyone does. just like everyone remembers that Virginia lost to 16-seeded Maryland Baltimore County.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to bring up how App State beat Michigan, but hey, whatever.
That one works too.
Yeah, either way. All right.
But yeah, there just aren't a lot of winnable games. Kansas would have to be a long-term rebuild.
You don't have to apologize to Kansas. Nobody in Kansas listens to football podcasts because they're terrible.
Yeah, they're both Kansas football and our football podcast are terrible.
Yes. Whoa. Oh, that's rough, bro.
So I do have a lukewarm take for who Jeff Long should hire if they fire David Beatty.
You?
No. God, no. I don't want to go to I've been to Kansas once. I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, this is my one way into the NCAA. I still won't take it.
I still don't want a Kansas job.
But yeah, no, who? Tell me.
I think they should hire Jeff Monken at Army. Huh. Because you're going to struggle recruiting. You're not going to be able to recruit at the same level everyone you're playing. So why not look at a system that's going to help cover those issues and put you in a position to win games?
You know, I thought you were going to say Kenny, and I was going to be really
God, no.
I was going to be really upset. But then you said Jeff, and I was like, huh.
Although honest to goodness, if I'm Jeff Monken, I probably don't leave Army for Kansas.
Look, if I'm Jeff Monken, Army loves you. You've done good things in Army.
Don't leave for that. Especially with what he can look and see what Kenny's been like at Army or Navy, and even what Troy Calhoun's been at Air Force. You win enough games, they take care of you. It's a great place to be. That's it, Now,
or Bill Snyder at Kansas State, where they're just like, you can die here.
Well, so if I remember correctly, like the stadium name is like the Bill Snyder and Family Memorial Stadium. Like everything in Manhattan is named after him.
Yeah, they're gonna bury him underneath the end zone. Like I swear, if they give him, if he allows them, they will do that. Oh Lord, that's probably why the AD doesn't like him. Anyway,
yeah, Kansas. Oh, man, it's
one game, two game, maybe.
A great year, they do the opposite. Or they do the same thing as Baylor, except that they beat Baylor, they win their first four, and then don't win again.
Well,
that's like the high water mark for Kansas.
So I mean, there's your statement. You got those three losing teams, and everybody else makes a bowl, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they beat it. They all go 6-6, except Oklahoma.
Oh no, that's the real trick. That's why they only have 10 teams, because they can just mark in those two ghost teams and be like, oh, yeah, we beat
Wait a minute, you played Kansas four times?
No, we just played New Mexico twice.
New Mexico State Liberty. Doubleheader.
All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. As always, thanks to our listeners. If you've got any questions, send us an email at tomeatleather@gmail.com.
If you have any other suggestions for the Kansas head coaching job, feel free to send them in, too. Actually, send them to jeff.long@kansas.edu. I have no idea if that's actually his email, but...
See if that comes up. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever happened to that high school coach that would, like, always go on fourth down?
He's, I believe he's still in Arkansas.
Oh. They could look into him. He's not that far away.
The problem with Kansas is you start looking at good coach hires, but you have to ask yourself, why would you leave? I thought of, Mike Houston at James Madison. But why if you're Mike Houston, would you leave James Madison for Kansas?
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like, who is desperate enough to be like, oh yeah, Kansas?
You could hold out long enough at JMU to get a significantly better job than Kansas. And JMU loves you and take care of you and you win national titles.
Well, the problem is Kansas really should move down, but they're making money out of the Big 12, so why would they?
Well, and Kansas basketball.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
I mean, that's the key. Kansas is, we joke about Kansas is the epitome of a basketball school. You know, at least Carolina and Duke.
And Kentucky.
Kentucky tries.
Yeah.
You know, if you line up those four college football programs, Kentucky and UNC are probably the best of the bunch.
Vanderbilt. Yeah, stuff like that.
Vandy's not even a basketball school.
They used to be. Anyway, whatever.
They should be. Bryce Drew signed, I believe, a top 10 class.
They've made efforts to being a basketball
program. And Lord, in the SEC, the only team you have to beat is Kentucky anyway, so it's basically a mid-major basketball conference.
Right. Anyway. Syracuse. There you go.
Yeah, Syracuse is another one.
Yeah. Pitt. No.
No, Pitt.
Not anymore.
God, Pitt. R.I.P.
All right, anyway. Thanks again for listening, and y'all have a good rest of your night. Good night, everybody.